We are in Matthew chapter 15. It's great to be here with everyone. And let's look down at your Bibles. Matthew chapter 15 and verse number 17. It says, "Do not ye yet understand that whatsoever entereth in at the mouth goeth into the belly and is cast out into the draught. But those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man, but to eat with unwashed hands defileth not a man." The title of the sermon this morning is Things That Are Truly Toxic. Things that are truly toxic. Now, today in 2019, we have this phrase that's being thrown around, a term that's thrown around, that, and it's often in relation to relationships, to comments on YouTube, or, you know, when we pass a judgment on a heretic or a reprobate. You know, they'll often say this about masculinity as well, and they'll say it's toxic. It's toxic, you know, toxic masculinity. Hey, that attitude is toxic. That comment is toxic. This is very toxic. But really what this is just the rhetoric of liberals. It's the rhetoric of watered-down Christians. It's the rhetoric of people who get easily offended to try to fend off people from listening to people like us, right? That's what it is. And really today what I want to do is take what they're saying is and basically turn around and show you things that are truly toxic, right? Now, today it seems that we constantly have to redirect people, redirect the masses to what really is just common sense, right? And we don't really have to say much to be radical, to be zealous, to be crazy. We just have to say what the Bible says, right? But what the Bible says is so different and so opposite to what the world is saying, they're going to look at us and say, that's crazy, that's toxic. Right. Now, before we get into that, let's look down at your Bibles at Matthew chapter 15. What's taking place here in this chapter? Well, what you have is the scribes and the Pharisees having this dialogue with Jesus Christ. And of course, we understand that the Pharisees and the scribes adhered to the false religion of Judaism. They upheld the tradition of the elders more than the commandments of God. And really what they're doing is bringing this stupid really accusation or the stupid doctrine that, hey, you have to make sure that you wash your hands before you eat. Now look, I'm all for washing my hands before I eat. I think it's a good thing. I think you should too. But I will never teach that as a doctrine of God.
Right.
You should never get behind the pulpit and preach your preferences, right, as though it's the commandments of God. And look down at your Bibles at verse number 2. It says, "Why do thy disciples transgress the tradition of the elders?" He doesn't say, why do they transgress the Bible? Why? Because it's not in the Bible.
Right.
"For they wash not their hands when they eat bread." So what are they saying? They're basically insinuating, hey, your disciples are defiled. That's defiling. Hey, that's toxic for them to do something like that. Now, what does Jesus do? Well, first, he just want to throw this in there. He advocates the death penalty in verse number 4. Just want to let you know that. You know, let him die the death. You know, that's in the New Testament, okay? Well, look at your Bibles at verse number 11. He basically redirects their attention and shows them what is it that truly defiles? What is it that's truly toxic? Is it because you don't wash your hands before you eat? No. He says in verse number 11, "Not that which goeth into the mouth defileth the man, but that which cometh out of the mouth, this defileth the man." So what is he saying here? Look, it's not about your outward appearance, because that's exactly what the Pharisees would emphasize. He's saying it's that which comes out of your mouth, because it proceeds from the heart. That is what is toxic. That is what defiles the man. That is what God looks upon. And then later on, you see that the disciples didn't really quite understand it, right? So he kind of further explains it in verse number 17. He says, "Do not ye yet understand that whatsoever entereth in at the mouth goeth into the belly and is cast out into the draught. But those things which proceed out of the mouth cometh forth from the heart, and they defile the man." Such as what? "For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders." It says there, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. "These are the things which defile a man, but to eat with unwashed hands defileth not a man." And you know what? The Pharisees were basically guilty of most of those things. You know, it's no coincidence that he's telling them that that which proceeds from the mouth comes from the heart. These are the things that defile a man. And then you look down at verse number 8. He says, "This people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, but honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me." So what do we see here? What are the Pharisees guilty of? Well, the Bible tells us that beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is what? Hypocrisy.
Yeah. Right.
And that's exactly what we see in verse number 8. They draw nigh unto God with their mouth. They honor him with their lips, but their heart is far from him. What is that saying? They're hypocrites.
Right.
What they say and what they do are two different things, right? And he's saying, you are actually the ones who are defiling the people. You know what's interesting is the people who typically have that rhetoric of, oh, this is toxic, they're typically the ones who are actually toxic.
Right.
Not just their message, not just what they're saying, but they themselves are toxic. Who? The sodomites, the reprobates, the false prophets of this world, the watered-down Christian fundamental Baptists who don't want to stand for truth and for the Word of God. These people are typically the ones who are truly toxic, okay? So as I mentioned today, you know, we need to redirect the masses to show them what the Bible actually says, what is truly toxic and what is it? What is it? Now, as I mentioned, this term toxic, you know, is a buzzword that people like to use to say, oh, you know, that's destructive. You know, that's injurious. That's poisonous. You know, you shouldn't say stuff. You can't just call a heretic a heretic. How are you going to call that person a reprobate? Well, because they rejected the Lord and they hate God.
Right.
They'll say, oh, no, that's toxic. You shouldn't use words like that. You're gonna scare people away from Christ. Well, you know what the kind of people you're going to scare away from Christ are those who hate Christ.
Yeah.
You know who you're going to draw? The people who are actually seeking for the truth.
Yeah.
That's who you're going to draw. So, yeah, it's toxic to those who are toxic.
Right?
And really, at the end of the day, what we find is that whatever the world deems as being toxic, the opposite is true. Why? Because we live in a world that calls evil good and good evil.
Yeah.
That puts bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. That puts light for darkness and darkness for light. So don't ever think that, you know, as Christians, you know, obviously we want to win people to Christ. We want to win sinners. But at the end of the day, there's going to be a group of people that we don't see eye to eye with.
Yeah.
Why is that? Because the Bible tells us that the unjust is an abomination to the just, and he that is upright in his way is an abomination to the wicked. That's how it's always going to be, right? You know, they'll tell us, oh, you know, you guys full of hate speech. That's the most common thing that I've heard within the last couple of weeks. I wonder why. I don't know. You know, what's up with that? They'll say, oh, you know, you guys are hate mongers. You guys have hate in your heart and hate speech and all these things. You know, the last time I checked, Jesus said, he that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. So that which Jesus preached, that which his prophets are preaching, is life.
Right.
We believe in everlasting life.
Amen.
You know, the Bible tells us that the law of the wise is a fountain of life to depart from the snares of death.
Amen.
So, you know, our message and what we preach, you know, is toxic to those who are toxic, but it's life unto those who want life. It's life unto those who want to live, who want to depart from the snares of death. This isn't toxic. We're not ruining our children. We're not destroying our churches. No, we're actually imparting life.
Yeah.
You know, oh, no, but, you know, that's hate speech and hate is always wrong. You know what the Bible tells me is that their vine is the vine of Sodom and of Gomorrah. Their grapes are the grapes of gall. Their clusters are bitter. Their wine is the poison of dragons and cruel venom of asp. It sounds to me like they're toxic.
Right. Yeah.
The Bible's telling us that they are toxic.
Amen.
Not us.
Correct.
Them.
Yeah. Right.
Turn with me, if you would, to Romans chapter number 3. What is truly toxic? You know, and a lot of these saved independent fundamental Baptists need to just wake up and smell the coffee in their churches, and come to the understanding that they've been influenced by the world, by the ideologies of the world. They've allowed themselves to capitulate to the attacks of the world, to the liberal churches, to the Sodomites, and that's why they are taking a weak stance on the Bible, so on and so forth. Let me read to you from 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 3. For the time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles, when we walked in lasciviousness, lust, excess of wine, revelings, banquetings, and abominable idolatries, wherein they think it strange that you run not with them to the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you, who shall give account to him that is ready to judge the quick and the dead. So they think it's strange when we stand on the Bible, don't they?
Right.
They think it's strange when we say that we hate sodomites, or you know, we believe that salvation is by faith alone, that we believe that you know you should speak to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing to make a melody in your hearts unto the Lord. When we say, hey, the man should be the one who's ruling his house, he should be the breadwinner, bringing home the bacon, the woman should be a keeper of the home, they think that's strange. But that's okay. Because that's showing us that what we're doing is right. Hate speech, though. The hate speech. You know, they never talk about the soul winning. They never talk about the many times that we preach John 3:16, Romans chapter 5, verse 8, all the love that we try to spread. You know, they only want to focus on the hate towards those who are toxic. Look at Romans 3, verse 13. It says, their throat is an open sepulcher. And we're not talking about bad breath here either, okay? Though that could be applicable at times. Their throat is an open sepulcher. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. You know what this tells me? They're toxic.
Amen.
Not us. When it's saying that their mouth is full of cursing and bitterness, I mean, that is true. When I was at the Orlando conference last week, they're literally giving us the bird as they're telling us that they love us. I'm serious. We're driving and they're just like, we love you. And look, I'll be honest with you. I think they're telling the truth. Because I think that they think that that's actually love. Because they got a twisted view of what love is. You know what that is? That's toxic. That is toxicity. The love that God has for the world that he was willing to give his son is not toxic. The love that we're willing to just protect our children, that's why we keep reprobates out, that's not toxic. What they're saying is toxic. You know? And I find it interesting that the media likes to highlight all the hot parts, which I'm fine with, right? But they want to just ignore everything that the sodomites say. Right. All their cursings and bitterness, and their throat is an open sepulcher. Their tongues are full of deceit. They have the poison of asps under their lips. What is it saying? They're toxic. You know, and woe unto the Christian that goes to the world to extract their philosophies for their ideologies and what they should believe. You know, woe unto the Christian who's embarrassed of us, right? They're embarrassed to be associated with us. They're embarrassed to come into our churches. They're embarrassed to, you know, be found listening to Pastor Anderson on their laptop or on their phone or something. Woe unto them. Because what's going on there is they're being influenced by these watered-down Christians who believe that we're toxic, right? The Bible tells us in Isaiah chapter 30, verse 1, woe to the rebellious children, saith the Lord, that take counsel, but not of me, and that cover with the covering, but not of my spirit, that they may add sin to sin, that walk to go down into Egypt, and have not asked at my mouth to strengthen themselves in the strength of Pharaoh, and to trust in the shadow of Egypt. Therefore shall the strength of Pharaoh be your shame, and the trust in the shadow of Egypt your confusion. You see, Christians, when they go to the world, ultimately the world's going to be their shame. Why? Because if they're Christians and they're saved, those ideologies are going to fall apart at the end of the day.
Right.
And they're going to come to the realization that they were wrong, right? Now look, there's people out there that are just straddling the fence when it comes to these topics here. You know, we live in a day and age when we're fighting the greatest war, right? We're here for such a time as this. We're here to fight the Lord's battles. But to fight the Lord's battles, you need to basically say, I believe this entire book. Now, 50 years ago, 100 years ago, to say something like that was not radical.
Right.
The reason it's become so radicalized is because the world has become so wicked.
Right.
It's become so ungodly, so wicked, and the Christians of today have become so weak and compromising that they look at something like what the Bible says in Leviticus 20:13 and say, whoa, toxic. That's toxic. You need to rid yourself of that toxicity. You know, I've known people that when we call out some infiltrator, when we call out some reprobate, they're like, oh man, hey, that's toxic speech right there, man. You gotta chill out with that toxic speech. You know, That shows me that that person has been ingrained with a lot of false ideologies, false doctrine, and they're not getting it from the Word of God.
Right.
They're getting it from Egypt. Why? Because Egypt has this philosophy, this kumbaya, you know, peace with everyone. But you know what the Bible says? Peace when there is no peace.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's what the Bible tells us. Now, go with me if you would to go to Acts chapter 24. Acts chapter 24. What is truly toxic? And I'm sorry, I don't have poppers today. You know, I didn't get a chance to go pick them up. And I made a huge mess the last time I used the poppers. So I'm not allowed to do that anymore. Let me give you some points here. What they say is toxic versus what truly is toxic. You know, here's some things that they'll say. Number one, the world says that the man of God is toxic. The true man of God, that person is dangerous. That person is injurious. That person is destructive. That person is a cult leader. That person is evil. That person is not like Jesus. That person is toxic. Stay away from that person. And what do I mean by the man of God? Well, the man of God is simply means a man who's coming on God's behalf, preaching God's word. So it's a man who comes and preaches John. It's a man who comes and preaches through the book of Proverbs. It's a man who comes and preaches through the book of Leviticus.
Amen.
It's just someone who comes to the masses on the behalf of God preaching his word. Thus saith the Lord, right? But why do they say that? Why do they think that today the Independent Fundamental Baptists, or what we would say the new IFB, why would they say that these preachers are toxic, that they're so not like Jesus, they're dangerous, they're injurious? Well, let me read to you from John 7, verse 6. It says, "Then Jesus said unto them, My time is not yet come, but your time is always ready. The world cannot hate you, but me it hateth, because I testify of it that the works thereof are evil." And that's why they say we're toxic. Why? Because we're testifying of the evil that they do.
Right.
We're talking about the wickedness of their deeds, the wickedness of their agendas, and all of a sudden they say, well, I hate you because of that. And by the way, you can't say, do you hate me back? That's what it is.
Yeah.
I hate you, but don't you dare say that you hate me back. No punchbacks. Right? But all we're doing, and here's the thing, all we're doing is testifying, giving our opinion from the Bible, that they're toxic.
Right.
But all of a sudden, when they come out with their ideologies and their slanders and their lies and their deceit, that's not hate speech. That's just their opinion. They can say whatever they want. No, that's toxic is what it is. The Bible tells us in John chapter 15, verse 18, "If the world hate you, ye know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love his own." Now look, pastors of America, you know what that means? If you're not hated, you're of this world. If you were of the world would love his own. Does the world love you? Do they get along with you? Can you rub shoulders with the world? You know, when you welcome everyone into your church and you get along with everyone, you just have this kumbaya ministry in your church. You know what that means? You're of the world. That's not a good thing. But because you're not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. Why aren't you like Jesus? Well, I am. They hated him. The world hated him.
Right.
Therefore the world hates us. No, I'm talking about the fake Jesus. You know, the long-haired hippie, Caesar Borgia.
Yeah, right?
Right? That one. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. So who are we looking to get? Those who want to keep his sayings also. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent him. So what is it telling us here? You know, people say, oh, you know, yeah, but, you know, your guys' stance on the Sodomites, you know, they're persecuting you not for the gospel's sake. They're persecuting you guys because you guys hate the homos. You guys hate the Sodomites. It says here, but all these things will they do it to you for my name's sake. Jesus is the one. He's the Word of God.
Right.
So they're rejecting us because they're rejecting the Word of God, which Jesus is the Word. Because they know not him that sent me. Look at Acts chapter 24, verse number 5. Acts chapter 24, verse number 5 says, "For we have found this man a pestilent fellow." Speaking of Paul. Pestilent, what is that? What does that remind you of? Like pestilence? Like a disease? Like something that's toxic? Right? Why can't you guys just be like the Apostle Paul, this missionary? Well, here, he's a pestilent fellow to the enemies. And a mover of sedition among all the Jews throughout the world, and a ringleader of the sect of the Nazarenes. And the ringleader would be just, in modern terms, a cult leader, right? Who also hath gone about to profane the temple whom we took and would have judged according to our law. So mark it down. The world's always going to look at us like pestilence. Because we're not supposed to get along with the world. The Bible says, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him." And look, and if the world loves you, then you are of the world, you're not of God.
Right.
You're obviously not preaching the Bible. Why? Because of the fact that the Bible has controversial topics, has things that go against the grain of the ideologies of this world, and it's going to be offensive to someone. And let me just translate what toxic really means. Does it mean injurious? No. Does it mean destructive? No. It means I'm offended.
Right.
That's what that means. That's toxic. Translation, I'm offended.
Right.
That's what that means. I'm offended by that. So therefore, it's toxic. No, you just need to get some thick skin. You just need to grow up, become a man, and learn how to take constructive criticism every once in a while. You know, if you're wrong, you're wrong.
Amen.
Acts chapter 18 and verse 10, it says, "And when Gallio was the deputy of Achaia, the Jews made insurrection with one accord against Paul and brought him to the judgment seat, saying, this fellow persuaded men to worship God contrary to the law." Lying. Not persuading people to do that, but isn't that what people say about us? Oh, you guys are trying to incite violence. Since when did we have like a rally to go like gay bash? Pick a sermon, any sermon.
Yeah.
You know what are they doing? These are the lies that they come up with to try to mar our reputation, to try to make it seem as though we're toxic. No, we're just simply preaching the Bible, what the Bible says. And it's toxic to those who are toxic, okay? Now, let me read to you from first. Go to Ezekiel chapter number 2. I'm going to read to you from 1 Kings 22, verse 8. "And the king of Israel said unto Jehoshaphat, there is yet one man, Micaiah, the son of Imlah, by whom we may inquire of the Lord, but I hate him." At least this guy's honest. "Why? For he doth not prophesy good concerning me, but evil. And Jehoshaphat said, let not the king say so." So why is it that this king hated this prophet? Well, simply because he prophesied, he preached, he didn't preach good concerning him, but evil. So what does that mean? It means he wanted a preacher to just tell him what he wanted to hear. He wanted to heap to himself preachers having itching ears, right? He wanted to hear all the good and no negative. But you know what that is? That is an imbalanced, unbiblical preacher. Because the Bible's full of negativity. And in order to get the car running, you need both positive and negative. Amen?
Yeah.
But yes, they hate us, but they also hate the message that we bring. That's really what they really hate, right? That's really what they deem as toxic. You know, and I hate it when they try to, like, separate. Yeah, you keep quoting the Bible. What is it that you believe, though? The Bible.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you keep saying that, but what is it that you, I want to know what you, the Bible. That's what I believe. Look at Ezekiel 2, verse 6. "And thou, son of man, be not afraid of them, neither be afraid of their words. Though briars and thorns be with thee," the reprobates, "and thou dost dwell among scorpions, be not afraid of their words, nor be dismayed at their looks, though they be as a rebellious house, be a rebellious house. And thou shalt speak my words unto them, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear, for they are most rebellious." So what is he saying here? Look, they're all a bunch of words. They're all talk. So don't let their talk scare you. Because they're a bunch of chihuahuas who just like, I hate chihuahuas. I'm sorry. If you have a chihuahua, don't tell me after the service. I'm sorry. Because when I go soul winning, They're going to be the reason a lot of people go to hell. I'm going to be honest with you. It's just like, and then you're just trying to like get the gospel to the person. And then you're just like, but you know, at the end, that's all they do. They're just like, they just irritate.
Yeah.
You know, the reprobates is the same way. You know, they just bang, 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 bang. And really, does it scare us? No, you just want to kick that thing and just like, you just want to launch it is what you want to do. Right? You just want to launch that little chihuahua to kingdom come. When the owner's not looking. But that's the same thing with these reprobates. They're all a bunch of bark. And that's why he tells them, be not afraid of their words, nor be dismayed at their looks. Why? Because they look so disgusting, that's why. Verse 8, but thou, son of man, hear what I say unto thee. Be not thou rebellious like that rebellious house. Open thy mouth and eat that I give thee. And when I looked, behold, a hand was sent unto me, and lo, a roll of a book was therein. And he spread it before me, and it was written within and without, and there was written their lamentations and mourning and woe. Look at chapter 3, verse number 1. It says, moreover, he said unto me, son of man, eat that thou findest, eat this roll, and go speak unto the house of Israel. So I opened my mouth, and he caused me to eat that roll. And he said unto me, son of man, cause thy belly to eat, and fill thy bowels with this roll that I give thee. Then did I eat it, and it was in my mouth as honey for sweetness. So what is the roll? What is the roll describing here? It's describing the Bible. And we see there that this roll is filled with what? Lamentations, mourning, and woe, according to chapter 2 and verse number 10. But it's sweet. Why? Because he that is of God heareth God's words.
Amen.
And regardless if it's filled with lamentations, mournings, and woe, when we eat it, we know that the chef knows what he's doing.
Yeah. Amen.
Right? We know that it's the Bible, and if we understand it, it's sweet to our soul in spite of how negative it can be.
Yeah.
Go to Revelation chapter 10. Revelation chapter 10. You know, we need pastors today to just eat that roll. Fulfill the roll and eat that roll. Eat it up. Just accept it for what it is. Not be embarrassed of the word of God. Not be ashamed. Not think that it's toxic. Just accept it. Eat it. Enjoy it. It's finger-licking good. Amen? Look at Revelation 10, verse 8. And the voice which I heard from heaven spake unto me again and said, go and take the little book which is open in the hand of the angel which standeth upon the sea and upon the earth. And I went unto the angel and said unto him, give me the little book. And he said unto me, take it and eat it up, and it shall make thy belly bitter, but it shall be in thy mouth sweet as honey. And I took the little book out of the angel's hand, and I ate it up, and it was in my mouth sweet as honey. And as soon as I had eaten it, my belly was bitter. And he said unto me, thou must prophesy again before many peoples and nations and tongues and kings. You see, the Bible tells us that the blueness of a wound cleanseth away evil, so do the stripes of the inward parts of the belly. So when we eat the Bible, it's sweet, but you know what? If we have sin in our life, it's going to be bitter, right? So how can we tell if something is bitter within our belly if we're living contrary to that?
Right.
So why is the Bible bitter to these toxic people? Because they're toxic. It's not sweet to them. It's bitter. Why? Because they are sinful. They have ideas and doctrines and hatred, and they hate God. Therefore, the message is bitter to them. It's bitter in their belly is what it is. So the man, by the way, the man of God is sent by God to remove the toxicity of the world, of the society. You know, he's sent to preach the Bible, to preach hellfire and brimstone, to get sin out of people's lives. He's not the toxic one. And look, don't ever think that your pastor, oh man, I don't agree with him on that. He's so toxic. Why is he so mean? He's so arrogant. No, you're probably seeing him like that because you're toxic. Or you have some toxicity within your system. Oh, I just don't know why he just gets up and rips and says all these things. Why can't he be more nicer? You know why he doesn't seem nice to you? It's because you probably have toxicity within you. That's why. Because I'm listening to it, and guess what? It's sweet as honey. And if it ever comes across as bitter, it's because there's probably something in me that's not right. Why? Because the word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. And it pierces even to the dividing of sunder of soul and spirit. Joints of the marrow as a discern of the thoughts and the intents of the heart.
That's right.
So before you say that's toxic, why don't, first of all, why don't you just say, I'm offended? Because that's really what you mean. Oh, that's just toxic talk right there. No, that's just you being offended. And if you're offended, let that be a red flag to you. Let that be a signal. Let that be a reminder that you probably have something within your heart that's not right. And this is how you can tell, if that's the case, that you're mad at the messenger. Because really, you're mad at the message. But you take your anger out on the messenger. That's how you can tell. Well, no, it's just the spirit that he says it in. You know, the spirit. You mean like the Holy Spirit? Because isn't that the spirit that we speak in is the Holy Spirit? Don't we speak on the behalf of the Holy Spirit? When we're filled with the Spirit, we're speaking the words of God. My words that I speak into you, they are spirit and they are life. Oh, it's just a mean spirit. Yeah, the Holy Spirit's mean sometimes. He's coming to reprove the world of sin. You think the Holy Spirit is just as like Casper ghost and just come? Look, he's the comforter, but he's coming to reprove the world of sin. He does it through the Bible. So if it's bitter to you, it's because you probably are toxic or you have some toxicity within you.
Yeah.
This is how you fix it. You repent. Get it right. Change your mind. Transform your mind. Have a renewing of your mind.
Yeah.
And don't take it out on the man of God. He's not the toxic one. It's probably you.
Right.
It's probably your worldliness. It's probably your sin. What is truly toxic? Well, not the men of God. You know who's truly toxic are the false prophets. Those are the people who are truly toxic. The false prophets that parade themselves as Christian pastors. Why? Because they're spoiling people through philosophy and vain deceit. The Bible tells us, for I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. What does that mean? They're toxic. You know, the Joel Osteens, the Tyler Bakers, the Adam Fannins, that's offensive. Oh, that's so toxic. You're bringing that up again? That's so toxic. I'm so sick and tired of this toxicity. No, you're toxic.
Yeah.
If that like rubs you the wrong way, if you like flinch when you hear that, you mention Adam, you're just toxic. Why? Because he's actually the one who's really toxic.
Yeah, right.
False prophets are the ones who are really toxic,
right.
Not the man of God. Hey, how about compromising pastors that capitulate under the pressure of wicked men? These people are actually toxic. Why? Because of the fact that they are softening up the congregants in their churches. So they're not helping them to be vigilant, to be aware, to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. They have this tolerance and acceptance speech every Sunday. They don't fight any battles. So what happens? The body of Christ in that area begins to atrophy. Why? Because the pastor is not fighting the battles. He's not fighting the good fight of faith. Therefore, he's toxic. Okay? Go with me, if you would, to... Go to Isaiah chapter 3, if you would. Isaiah chapter 3. We're talking about things that are truly toxic. And as God's people, we need to listen to the rhetoric of the world and understand that whatever they say, the opposite is true. When they call us toxic, when they call our message toxic, when they say that we're injurious and we're destructive, just mark it down, it's what they're doing. And they typically, it's a smokescreen. When they say things like that, it's a smokescreen to get your attention off of their toxicity is what it is. Okay? But how about this? The world says that the man of God is toxic, but the world also says that biblical manhood is toxic. You know, Gillette came out with that commercial, right? How many of you know what I'm talking about? Now, I don't shave. Okay? I don't believe in shaving. No. And I'm not against you if you do. When I was a kid, my dad took me into the restroom, showed me how to be a man. He grabbed the razor and he ate it in front of me. I'm just kidding. He didn't do that. But what was that whole commercial about? It's really to effeminize men is what it is.
Yeah.
Let me read this to you. It says, the concept of toxic masculinity is used in psychology and media discussions of masculinity to refer to certain cultural norms that are associated with harm, to society and to men themselves. So obviously, we don't want to do things to harm other people, right? And what they obviously, we understand that Satan, what he does when he brings his lies, he mixes in a little bit of truth, okay? Traditional stereotypes of men as socially dominant. Hey, that's good. That's good, right? Along with related traits such as misogyny and homophobia. Okay, let's stop right there. We're not misogynistic.
Right.
You know, in Hispanic culture, you have like the machismo.
Right.
You know, that's wrong.
Yeah.
And look, let me say this. The homophobia is wrong too.
Right.
Hey, don't be homophobic.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm here to tell you it's wrong for you to be homophobic.
Amen.
Here's my message today. Homophobia is wrong. Because phobia means afraid.
Right.
And we're not afraid of them.
Right.
It's a big difference between being afraid of them and hating them.
Yeah.
I'm that's toxic. I'm offended when people say that I'm homophobic. I'm not homophobic. I'm not afraid of them. You know, I hate them, but I'm not afraid of them. So this is wrong here. Stereotypes of men. And look, there's probably people out there. You know who's homophobic? Are the ones who's bringing them into the church. They're the ones who are scared of them. They're the ones who are afraid. They're the ones who are shaking in their boots. They're the ones who are afraid of their faces. They're afraid of their words. They're the ones who are homophobic. The ones who are telling us, you're homophobic. No, you're homophobic. That's why you're letting them into your church. That's why, you know, you try to support them indiscreetly and you try to, or discreetly, that's why you're trying to act like you're for them. We need to win them to Christ. You're being homophobic.
Yeah.
You're homophobic. I'm homo-hating. Traditional stereotypes of men as socially dominant, along with related traits such as misogyny and homophobia, can be considered toxic due in part to the promotion of violence. So here's the lie. Because we talk about the death penalty, and they automatically relate that to, oh, you just want to be violent. Why do you want to kill homosexuals? I don't want to kill them. I want the government to do it.
Yeah.
I'm a preacher. I got other things to do. You know, I'm here preaching the word of God. I got soul winning to do. I'm just saying that the government should do it. Okay? Now, if I work for the government, yeah, that's what I'd be doing, right? If it was part of the law, if that was part of the law to put sodomites to death, and I work for the government in that section, then yes, that's what I would be doing. But that's not violence.
Yeah.
Including sexual assault and domestic violence. These things are wrong. So they associate sexual assault and domestic violence with us. They say, oh, if that's what you want, you know, these are the fundamentalists of this world. These are the old timers. These are the people who believe the Bible. They're all for violence. That's not true. The socialization of boys often normalizes violence. Really? So if your son is like playing with another son and they're wrestling, all of a sudden that's like violent? Such as in the saying, boys will be boys, with regard to bullying and aggression. Now, obviously, we're not for bullying, right? But I'm for a little aggression.
Right.
Why? Because boys will be boys.
Right.
At our church, they wrestle like all the time. You know, they're throwing each other down. Oh, you shouldn't allow that. Why? Why? Well, you want me to hand them a doll? You want me to hand them a Barbie doll?
Yeah.
You want me to hand them like a stove? You want my son to make cupcakes? Well, yeah, that's what they should be doing. No, they're not supposed to be doing that.
Right.
So they state that boys will be boys is wrong when men are aggressive. No, boys should be aggressive, amen?
Yeah.
Why? Because when they grow up, they're supposed to be the leaders of the home. They're supposed to be protecting their wives and their kids. And if they're men of God, they're supposed to be fighting the Lord's battles, which takes what? Aggression. It takes someone getting mad about things, upset about sin and reprobates and fight these battles. Aggression is good.
Amen.
You know, it lets the congregation know that the pastor's serious about what he's saying.
Amen.
What if I preached this message and I just didn't yell at all and I was just happy-go-lucky the entire time? We hate homos. We hate them. You all should hate them. They're toxic. That would have no weight behind it. But when you're mad, people know you mean business. When you're aggressive, being aggressive is not sinful. You know, this is a man trait that God has instilled with every single man to use at its designated time. You know, he that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls. Yes, but the Bible also says that he that is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he that ruleth the spirit than he that taketh the city. What does that mean? That we can control our aggression. We can control anger. We know when to use it and when not to use it. But they say, well, no, that's all wrong. Give him a Barbie doll. Give him a dog. Give him a stove to cook on. Let him dress like a girl. They're trying to effeminize the children, the boys. Why? So they, when they grow up, they're docile. And when they want to promote their wicked agendas, the children who are now adults have no resilience. They can't resist these things because they're not strong enough to do it. They have no common sense. Self-reliance and emotional repression are correlated with increased psychological problems in men, such as depression, increased stress, and substance abuse. Depression. You know, they say, oh, you know, these things lead to depression. No, you know what leads to depression is laziness. You know what leads to depression is when you don't work. When you don't have a job, when you're not working, guess what? You're not tired, and when you're not tired, you think, and when you think, you grow depressed. You said, from what? From not working. But when you work, you're tired, and when you're tired, you're too tired to be depressed. Increased stress. What's wrong with stress? Stress is good, right? Stress helps us to execute tasks. When you're under the gun, when you're under pressure. Obviously, there's a stress that's not good, but at that point, we need to make sure that we live a balanced life and everything has its place. But, you know, stress is not all bad. That's why you have this generation that wants to rise up, that's rising up, and they don't want to work. They want to be handed everything because they just don't want any stress. I'm having a mental breakdown. Because you got to get up in the morning to go work. Because your boss yelled at you. I just don't know what I'm going to do. My boss. It means you're not working right. You're not doing a good job, so just change it. Stress is good. And substance abuse. Substance abuse is not good. But you see how they try to mix that in? I'm sure there's a lot of stressed men here because of work who are not involved in substance abuse. Hopefully. Right? Pretty sure. You say, well, how do you deal with stress? Well, you know, you come to church, you have fellowship. You know, often church is a good way to get rid of stress. Because you come here, you sing the songs, you fellowship with your brothers in Christ, you hear the preaching of God's word, and you're around people that believe just like you, and that kind of refreshes you, right? People exercise, you eat healthy, you shoot guns, right? We went shooting yesterday. That was a good stress reliever right there. Feel good. Not substance abuse. Toxic masculine traits are characteristic of the unspoken code of behavior among men in American prisons, where they exist in part as a response to the harsh conditions of prison life. You know, this is nonsense. And what Gillette was trying to do is basically have this agenda to soften up the next generation is what they're doing. You know, and they try to mix truth with they try to mix their lies with a little bit of truth. No, the Bible tells us that being effeminate is a sin. Being a girly man is a sin. You know, and what is the response? What is the result of you know, if we try to get rid of masculinity, feminism, which is very sinful. And in fact, it's a curse upon a nation. Look what the Bible says in Isaiah chapter 3, verse 12. As for my people, children are their oppressors, and women rule over them. O my people, they which lead thee cause thee to err and destroy the way of thy paths. When women rule over a people, it's considered a curse. Right. Yeah. Yeah. And that's a whole sermon in and of itself of feminism, how wicked it is.
Right.
The Bible tells us, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God." This is the only time the word effeminate is mentioned, and that's all we need.
Right.
Because in the Bible, we understand, and people understood of that, times past, that to be a girly man was sinful. Because you're not behaving the way God created you to behave. Right? I'm not for fist fighting. I'm not for just violence. But I'm for consented, if it's consensual. You know, I'm for that. I'm for guys training in Muay Thai kickboxing. I'm for guys doing Brazilian jiu-jitsu. I'm not for karate. I'm just kidding. You know? I'm for all of that. Because that's not violence.
Right.
And it's good for society when men behave as men.
Yeah.
I'm almost out of time. Go with me, if you would, to Luke chapter 11. You know, the Bible tells us to, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 16, verse 13, "Watch ye, stand fast in the faith. Quit you like men, be strong." So you know what the Bible tells us to be as men? To be strong physically, emotionally, mentally, spiritually.
Amen.
Because the Bible tells us to gird up your loins like a man, but the Bible also says to gird up the loins of your mind. Right? To be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. This is a necessary trait for men. And we need to make sure that we never have this view, this perception, that that's toxic. You know, when the boys are playing in the mud and they're eating the worms and they're just pushing each other and fighting, that's so toxic. No, that's normal. That's how boys act. Boys will be boys. Here's another thing that they say. The world states that religion is toxic. Right? You know, I have Richard Dawkins parroting that. That religion is toxic. And look, it's true to a certain extent because of the fact that there's certain religions in this world that are of the devil.
Amen.
Islam is toxic.
Yeah.
Mormonism is toxic.
Yeah.
The Jehovah's Witnesses, they're toxic. The charismatic movement is toxic.
Yeah.
Hey, how about the repent of your sins independent fundamental Baptists?
Yeah.
They're really toxic.
Because
they come under the cloak of being the righteous people, Christians, Baptists, KJV, you know, but what are they really? Dispensational?
Yeah.
Repent of your sins? These people are toxic. In fact, that's probably more toxic than the Jehovah's Witnesses.
Right. Yeah.
Because they come as ministers of light. They have the right label. They use the right Bible. But they're toxic. You know, true toxicity are religions that teach that salvation is by works. They'll say, "Oh, you guys are just like the Muslims. You know, the Muslims want to put homosexuals to death." Well, that's the one thing they got that's right. That doesn't mean we're like them. It just means that that part is correct. You understand what I'm saying? So they try to lump us in with Islam. No, we don't have a pedophile for our leader.
Right.
We don't. Islam is a wicked religion. I don't care what you say about my beard. It's wicked. It's vile. Mormonism is vile and wicked.
Yeah.
The charismatic movement is vile and wicked. These are the religions that are actually toxic, not us. Why? Because our religion, the biblical religion that we follow, teaches that salvation is by faith alone. And it's the only religion that does.
That's right.
What are the differences between Catholic and Christian? Well, here, our religion teaches that salvation is by faith without works. By believing on the Lord Jesus Christ, plus nothing, minus nothing. That's it. All other religions teach something different. And it's all based upon works. They just slap a new label on it, but it's all works. That's what's really toxic. Luke 12, you're in Luke chapter 11. I'm going to read to you from Luke 12, verse 1. It says, "In the meantime, when there were gathered together an innumerable multitude of people, insomuch that they trode one upon another, he began to say unto his disciples, first of all, beware ye of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy." And you look at like these charismatic movements, these guys are so holier than thou, but they're just a bunch of hypocrites. Because most of the things that they want, that they teach, that they impose upon their churches and their people, they're not even keeping themselves because they're hypocrites. It's the spirit of the Pharisees within these churches. Luke 11, verse 52 says, "Woe unto you, lawyers, for ye have taken away the key of knowledge. Ye enter not in yourselves, and them that were entering in ye hindered." These are the people who are actually toxic. You know, and while I'm on dispensationalism, you know, there's this guy who made this video. I don't even know who he is. But he made this YouTube video, and he's, like, criticizing March of the Zion. And he's this hyper-dipstick, like, hyper-dipstick. And he's just like, "We're going to also look at dispensation of heresy. These guys are getting too much influence, and they're influencing the masses with these movies and all these things." But you look at what he believes. He believes that salvation was by works in the Old Testament. So what's wrong with that? If they believe salvation was by works in the Old Testament, but it's by grace through faith here, doesn't that mean that they're saved? No, because to believe the gospel is to believe that it was everlasting.
Right.
That there is no beginning or end. What they believe is there is a beginning. And there shall be an end even to this gospel. Right? That's toxic. Because of the fact that people who are sincere, who want to know the truth, will be deceived by that nonsense. By that garbage of dispensationalism. Down with dispensationalism, amen? It's toxic. Matthew 23, 15 says, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye compass sea and land to make one proselyte, and when he is made, ye make him twofold more the child of hell than yourselves." That's toxic. So these people, when they go out to make converts, they actually turn out worse. They make them devils. What's that called? Toxic. You say, "Well, what about you guys?" Well, they become children of God.
Amen.
They get everlasting life, right? I'm out of time. What's the sermon today? It's simply this, is we need to make sure that we're constantly redirecting the masses to understand what truly is toxic. And when they try to attack us and our beliefs, the principles that we stand on and the doctrines that we preach, let's never be afraid. You know, let's never take it lying down. We need to make sure to stand up and say, "Stop, this is not toxic. Let me show you what really is toxic. You.
Yeah, right.
You're toxic. And let me show you why you're toxic." Because of the fact that all men need to do for evil to prevail is just nothing. So you know how you shut up the chihuahua? That's all you got to do. Same thing with these people, right? That's all you have to do. So we need to make sure that we redirect the masses to understand, hey, what is truly toxic? It's not us. It's not the Bible. It's not our message. It's the people who are attacking us. It's the people who want to change biblical principles and doctrines to make it seem as though that's toxic. What are they doing? It's just a smokescreen to try to get the attention off themselves and their wicked agenda. Amen? Let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Father, we thank you so much for your word. Thank you, Lord, and we're thankful that the Bible is pure. The law of the Lord is perfect. It's pure, and there's nothing toxic about it. There's nothing toxic about our churches, about our sermons, about our message, about anything that we do according to your word. It's nothing toxic about it. Help us to expose the toxicity of this world, of the false prophets, of the false churches, but also of the compromising churches. People who possibly they're saved, pastors who are saved, but they just take a weak stance. They're actually creating more damage in their congregation than they are helping. And I pray, God, that you'd help us to continue to take a stand and to differentiate between the two. We love you so much, Lord, and we thank you. Pray these things in Jesus' name.